Welcome to the SMB Community Podcast with hosts Amy Babinchek, James Kernan, and Carl Polacek. Produced by Kernan Consulting and for the international MSP community, we are dedicated to making every IT professional a successful IT professional. Everybody, welcome back to the SMB Community Podcast. This is James Kernan with Kernan Consulting, and I am here with my good friend, Amy Babinchek. Hey, Amy, good morning.
Hey, James. Good morning to you.
Yeah. So lots of fun stuff to talk about today. And actually, we've got a great question of the week, too, that I'm looking forward to. But before we dive into that, how's the weather up there?
It's raining.
Oh, it is?
It's raining, man. And it is. And it's cold. We've had a beautiful, long, warm fall. And then two nights ago, it hit 33 degrees. And I got up and in the morning, there was frost everywhere and things were kind of frozen. Way up in the upper peninsula of Michigan, they had their first measurable snow. So winter is on the way.
Winter's on the way. Well, we're still hanging on to fall here in Nebraska. It was very cold, first frost last week as well. We got a little rain early in the week, but this week I'm kind of excited. It's supposed to be like in the mid-60s, high 60s, low 70s, so we should have a beautiful week.
That's cool. We get your weather a couple days after you have it, so yeah. Our temperatures are going to pop up, and that means I got to get out and really wrap up all the little things to do in the yard before winter decides.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, cool. Well, hey, let's dive into the question of the week. We had a really good one that came in and we wanted to elaborate and talk a little bit more or maybe a little longer because this is a great topic. But the question was, when would be a good time for year-end planning? Okay. Year-end planning. And obviously we're almost in the middle of Q4, so it really would be right now. But
that's the obvious answer, right?
Yeah, the obvious answer is yes.
Now is good. Yeah.
now is good. Sometimes I always see people wait till the beginning of the year, but I was like doing it normally in December. You know, it's supposed to slow down, even though it normally never does for people. But what are your thoughts? When's the best time to do it? And then what goes into year-end planning?
Well, the best time to do it, I think, is to start thinking about it in October, to have it kind of ready and by the end of November.
Okay.
And then, you know, no, there's a lot of downtime in December. So
yeah.
I think you're going to do it in December. Probably you won't. You'll get sidetracked. You'll put it off. Come January, you'll be making your gym commitments and throwing together your business plan's a bad idea. So now's the best time to do it. And actually, I tasked my mastermind groups with this in October. And I said, in our November meeting, I want to see it.
Yeah.
And I don't usually task them with stuff. You know, I allow them to set the agenda. We talk about the things that are important to their businesses, you know, in the moment. But this is a really critical thing. And I told them, I said, I don't want to just hear like, you know, oh, in 2026, we're going to grow the business by 20%. Mm-hmm. I want to see the tactical things that are going to get you there. I don't, you know, the pie in the sky thing is fine, but you've got to have some tactics underneath that. So I want to know what your goal is, and I want to know what you're going to be doing to get to reach that goal.
Yep. Awesome. So you have 12-month goals. Is that what you're doing with your masterminds?
Yeah. So, I like everybody to have a 12-month goal. And then, you know, you can break those things down quarter by quarter as you go kind of through the year. But I want you to have a vision for the year of where you're going. You know, I think it's really important to know what your one-year goal is. Like, where am I going? And then we can quarterly make tweaks to how we're getting there. But everybody knows where they're headed.
Yep. I like that too. Yeah. A lot of business planning exercises typically look at like a 3 or 5 year horizon. I like, you know, this industry moves so fast. I like looking at it in baby steps, you know, 12 months at a time. Yeah. And like you said, break it down into the quarter, break it down into the month. And then we should be looking at our goals, I think, every day or every week for sure, and sharing those with your team. So, you know, break those down. But yeah, okay, good. And do you have an exercise or a template that you share with everybody, or do you kind of start with a blank canvas and let them build their own?
We're starting with the blank canvas, right? Because I think it's important that they each develop their own vision in using a method that works for them. If somebody's struggling and trying to get past that blank page moment, or, you know, they're not sure how to articulate things, or they're not sure how to put it together, then, you know, then we can work on that. But let's, you know, I like to start from where people are and yep. let them, you know, I also like to see how their brain works, right? How do they think about these things? What makes sense to them? We all work in slightly different ways, you know, and so I want to support that. But yeah, if you can't, honestly, this is how I treat all employees as well.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's different.
Yeah.
Let them build their own way of getting to the end. The end goal is the main thing.
Right.
And, you know, let's do what makes sense for you. And my job is to support you and getting there.
Yep. Yep. No, that's good. Yeah. I like the blank canvas look. I mean, for me, for my brain, I like starting with something. And I always created a lot of templates with things like this. So I've got the little, I call it the one-page business plan that's mm-hmm. broken down into four categories: your purpose, your why, your unique selling proposition. You know, I think everybody needs to always fine-tune that every year. And then what your actual goals are, and then your tactical objectives, like you said. And, you know, here's the funny thing is I have that, it's a three-page exercise, and the third page is an example of what one looks like, you know, and to figure out how to do a one-page business plan. It takes me three pages to explain. So if you're like me and you want a template to do some year-end planning and get next year's plan on a piece of paper, then just email me. I'm happy to share that with anybody. James@kerninconsulting.com. Happy to send that out and help you guys get ready for next year. But I agree with Amy. It's do it now here in Q4. You know, a lot of exciting things happening that you guys should be taking advantage of for sure in 2026.
You know, one of the things I told my groups is I actually use the sticky note apps in Windows.
Mm-hmm.
And I have my goals on a sticky note, and they're just permanently affixed to the desktop. And so every time I open my computer, there they are.
Wow.
You know? So I know exactly what I said I was going to do. And for me, that's really important, because if I say I'm doing something, then I always do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's no worse lie than lying to yourself.
You know? Right.
This keeps you on track. All right, this is the things I said I was going to do.
Yeah. Well, good. All right. Well, hopefully that helped everybody. And if you've got a question of the week that you want to submit or have Amy and I talk about, go ahead and send that over to us either through the website, or you can email us anytime. We'd love to hear from you. So a lot also going on in the news. It seemed like there was a lot of outages here the last couple of weeks. And, you know, starting with AWS was one of the big ones. What did you see happening there?
Yeah, you know, AWS definitely had the headlines in not a good way for most of the week.
Yeah.
They were calling it, well, I think the media was sort of calling it two outages, but it seemed to me it was actually just one extended outage. It was, and, you know, it's always DNS, right? So they came out and said, "Oh, it was a bad DNS entry," and then they found their bad DNS entry and they made the corrections. And a lot of people came back online, and it sort of looked like things were resolving. And then they said, "Oh, it's all resolved," and then it got way worse. Yeah. So it sort of went into, you know, a lot of people affected, less people affected, and then way more people affected again. And they continued to blame DNS, and they said, oh, well, you know, the DNS entry snafu cascaded into, you know, into other clusters and yada, yada. And they just continued to blame DNS. I don't know. I've been a skeptic on this. I don't know that I 100% believe that it was just a DNS issue. Seems to me like a DNS issue should be resolved a lot quicker than four or five days if this thing drug out. So anyway, there's that. They have it resolved now. Things are back to normal.
It lasted so long. I thought there were two outages is what I thought was happening. It kept hitting the news, and you know, you don't really realize it until, you know, I was hearing reports through other MSPs around the country that different services were down, and I didn't have any issues in our office, but yeah. And then Azure was down or just had kind of some slowness or issues as well. So that that was happening out there too.
Yeah, they had some kind of configuration issue with Azure Front Door, which is kind of like, well, you can think of it sort of like a giant firewall. It's where that all the traffic passes as it gets to the load balancing, and it slowed things down. It wasn't an actual outage. It was more like it just got really overloaded and things started to slow down drastically. Both of these issues taken together, though, point to the need for businesses to diversify their cloud presence, right? So, because they both support each other, so you can diversify your presence so that, you know, if your customers aren't coming through one channel, they're coming through the other channel. It's invisible to all of us customers, but it helps their stability. And anybody who was on the fence of doing that, I hope this was their wake up call, and that's what they'll be doing.
No, that's a smart tip for sure. And Apple was in the news again. I saw their 50th anniversary is coming up, you know, looks like they've got some exciting things planned. I know you're more of an Apple guru than I am, but
I am not a big Apple guru, but you know, I do love my iPhone and my watch, and I'm waiting to see. Apple hasn't really had much on the official announcements. There's been a lot of speculation. They are going to do a big splashy, you know, 50th anniversary party kind of thing. So we'll see what they come out with. I mean, it's hard when you're a 50-year-old company to, you know, suddenly, you know, disrupt the market because you did that 50 years ago.
Right.
So what can you do now other than have a big party that's going to make a big, huge splash in the world? Well, we'll see.
Yeah. I had read that there were some innovations coming, but it's all things that we've talked about before, like the foldable iPhone and then some new smart home devices and things like that. Then a little bit, there was something on, the AI powered, you know, Siri voice assistant. So some updates coming out on those. But yeah, I'm more of an Android PC Windows person. So I'm could take it or leave it.
Yeah, I think that I'll be surprised. They should be talking about AI more. Apple's taken a really conservative approach to AI. I'm glad to see the improvements in Siri. It's been bad for so many years. It could use a little AI help. So I've noticed. I actually, for the first time, have started to use it. I ignored it for so many years because it was just terrible, and it's gotten much better. So I think the AI is definitely giving it a boost and should have a pretty bright future.
Yep. And then you know, a lot going on in the world economy and the national economy, but you know, more accelerated layoffs are looming across the board with a lot of our big tech companies. I saw Amazon was going to lay off 14,000 employees. So, and that's just one of many. So I don't know if you saw that news or have any comments of.
Yeah, you're right. You know, Meta laid off a bunch of people. Microsoft has laid off a bunch of people, and they're all in the AI divisions. So it's sort of like they overhired.
Yeah.
You know, and now they're actually right sizing those divisions into their company. I think that's what we're seeing, except maybe for Amazon. You know, Amazon had a couple of announcements recently. You know, there's AWS, and there's their AI research, and then there's, of course, this shopping business.
Yeah. And,
in their shopping business, they were talking about how they probably won't grow in the number of employees ever again.
Mm-hmm.
And that they're actually planning to double the size of that business and not double the size of the employees at all. In fact, it'll probably shrink in people because their automation scale and AI is just going to improve so much. They won't need as many people to work in the warehouse anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. So the good news for all of us is it's a good time to hire. There's a lot of people looking for work. So in most MSPs that I talk to in my extended circles and in events, you know, they're either having a record year, you know, they're all in most everybody's in growth mode or at least they're staying the same in size. And I haven't really seen a lot of the economic turmoil and like layoffs and things like that or slowdowns really adversely affect MSPs, at least the ones that I'm talking to. So
yeah, I agree. I don't think that we're seeing any kind of general economic issue that seems to be very, you know, isolated to the world trying to figure out the AI technology.
Yeah.
They do see from MSPs though is it's taking them longer to acquire a new client.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The sales process is becoming more difficult. And I think that actually has something to do with AI as well.
Hmm.
You know, I think that businesses are starting to really look at their MSP and wonder if they just can't replace them with an AI.
Yeah.
So that's what should be a wake-up call for folks. If you're doing too much remote work and too much automation, the customer sees that and thinks, oh, I see where this path is going. You know, we used to have interaction with these folks. Now everything's done remote. We don't hear from them very often. You know, things just happen automatically. And so eventually it'll just be replaced with an AI.
Yeah.
And I think that is hurting the sales cycle. So
yeah.
It's a good time for MSPs to wake up and think about customer service.
Right? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's one area. I agree with it's harder to get net new logos. And it seems like the MSPs that I am talking to that are growing, it seems like they're fighting a little harder than they used to have to win that business and to get it. But, you know, there's still business out there. But
I think it, and, you know, my feeling is that it's not because the economy is poor or rough, that it's because of a changing perception of clients to the value of MSP and the uncertainty that AI is bringing into that.
Yeah.
We'll see how that plays out, but that's the real feeling I'm getting.
Yeah. And that is, you brought up something that point right there about most MSPs, and this is something that I am seeing and hearing loud and clear, they're really struggling with their QBRs or their, you know, technology business reviews, the sales visits, whatever you want to call it, with their existing clients. They just most don't have a good cadence in place of adding value in staying in touch with their current customers in a meaningful way. There's all sorts of different ways of doing that, but that's for sure something I think most everybody needs to have in your business plan for 2026 is how are we going to better stay in touch with our current customers? Because you'll get very vulnerable. I mean, most people I do talk to are struggling with that. So it's interesting that you brought that up, Amy.
Yeah. Maybe that'll be a new theme for us in the coming year too, to help people figure out how to do that. because you're right, you are having trouble wrapping their business processes around that challenge.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we couldn't have an episode go by without talking a little AI, but it looks like some AI browsers are coming. I'm sure you saw that article with OpenAI.
There's a bunch of AI browsers out there now. Yeah, OpenAI has one. I'm using one. I'm now using a Comet browser, which is Perplexity's browser. They're all coming out with new browsers, and it's all these AI first browsers, right? So that means any search you do is going to be done with AI. And then the Comet's got a built-in assistant, and I know OpenAI's got a built-in assistant as well. So you can task it with doing things for you. So huge changes coming down in browsers.
Yeah.
These MSPs, if you're not looking into those, learning what they do, learning what their security and privacy issues might be, you need to do that like now, because the big push for new browsers is on.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. Awesome. Awesome. Well, we're coming into November now. We've got, it seems like a flash, and then the year's over. But I think that's probably it travel-wise for you. You got anything else coming up through the remainder of the year?
No. My to-do list is quite long. Remember that list of things I said I was going to do? Well, I've got some things that still need doing. So I'm focused on those. The class I'm teaching, helping MSPs decide how they're going to approach the AI solution in their MSP. That wraps up in early December. So we're just sort of rushing into the end of the year here.
Yeah. All right. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. It's a light workload for me. I've no travels other than we've got a mastermind event coming up, mastermind roadshow for MSPs, first week of December. So looking forward to that. That's in Southern California. And other than that, that's it. I'm kind of excited about that. I'm ready for the holidays. And you know what? I'm going to just say it. We just had Halloween. The day after Halloween, I already got the Christmas tree out. I'm excited for the holidays. I know I broke a lot of rules.
You're making Thanksgiving people very unhappy.
Well, hey, I love Thanksgiving too. I did leave some pumpkins out, but Christmas tree is up, and we are hosting and celebrating Thanksgiving here also.
Christmas tree is up. Oh, yeah. Man, you've gone all out. You're crazy. You're crazy. I'll probably get some outdoor decorations out pretty soon too, just because it's easier to do it before it gets too cold. But yeah, indoor decorations, I don't think will happen until Thanksgiving, but I do leave them up until mid January. So
yeah.
And I tend to go on the late side rather than the early side.
There was one year when I lived in California, we had a lake house up in the Big Bear Mountains, and we had a big 12-foot tree. And one year we left it up all year, just and if you think about it, you got all the Hallmark holidays. You know, there's an excuse to put Valentine's Day decorations on the tree, and then just different 4th of July. There's all different fun ways to decorate a tree if you leave it up all year. But I did that one year, but I've got to take it down probably by the end of January. So
you can do that if you're not using a live tree. And that is kind of a fun idea for a lake house or
someplace
you're visiting rather than living with every day. I do love a live tree, and I haven't had one in a few years. We've been sort of skipping the tree and doing other decorations, but when I get a tree, I love a live tree. They smell so wonderful in the house. And then whenever I get a live tree, I then put it out in the backyard for the rest of the winter. And we put all of our bird feed and stuff in the tree. And I just love seeing them come in and out of the tree and look for things. And it's just fun. Just kind of fun. Keeps the fun going.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. All right. Well, hey, thanks. Thanks for your time this morning. Everybody, I appreciate you all listening in to Amy and I. And until next time, we're going to say sayonara. Thank you for tuning in to the SMB Community Podcast. If you found this interesting or fun, please subscribe, share with your friends, and give us a thumbs up on your favorite social media. We would love to hear from you, so reach out anytime on the website at smbcommunitypodcast.com.